この番組はジャパントップ10ナンバーワンの J-POP ポッドキャストです。このエピソードは今月のアーティスト特集です。 You're listening to Japan Top 10 The number one Japanese music podcast. You're listening to an artist of the month episode on Japan Top
10. Hello and welcome to episode 466, and we're here with March's artist of the month. So I'm your host Shana.
And I'm your host, Connor.
And today we're going to be diving into the world of the band Lunacy.
Yes, I'm so excited to introduce Lunacy to you guys. But first off, we have one quick announcement, and that is that we are looking for new members. So if you are interested in audio editing or content producing or even being an on-air host like me and Shana, there are positions open, so you can join our podcast. We are one of the biggest and best Japanese music podcasts out there, so check out our website at jtop10.jp/join for more details.
And I mean, obviously getting to talk about cool stuff like this includes talking about our artist for this month, and that's Lunacy. So Lunacy is a visual kei and rock band which is composed of the members Ryuchi on the vocals, Sugizo on guitar and violin, Inoran on the guitar, Jay on the bass, and Shinya on the drums.
And this group is actually considered to be one of the most influential visual kei bands, with HMV Japan ranking them among the most important Japanese artists in 2003.
Yeah, I mean, they've really influenced the entire visual kei Japanese rock scene. And going all the way back, Sugizo, Inoran, and Jay were school friends, and they started the band under the name Lunacy in 1986. After which, you know, lots of recruitment happened. They recruited Ryuchi, Shinya, and of course the former classmate Sugizo to form Lunacy. The separation, it gets hard to like make the separation, but the original band is Lunacy, which is L-U-N-A-C-Y, and the new one is like L-U-N-A-S-E-A. So I mean, you need to create that division, but also, I mean, props to them for like finding something creative out of it. And you know, they formed Lunacy when each of the members were just out of high school in 1989.
Yeah, again, we have high school, you know, classmates who end up forming a band and becoming,
arc.
You know,
yeah,
top
arc.
Hit
yeah.
successes. Yeah, I'm wondering if this also happens, you know, if this is a common case in like the U.S., for example, or in India, where like artists just like they you know each other since like school or grade school or whatever, and then they end up forming a band together. Like, is that the most common way of forming a band internationally?
So.
Or is this just unique to Japan?
It might just be unique to Japan, because to be completely honest, I don't think I remember a lot of the names of the kids I studied with. Let alone, like, my desire to form a band with them. So, I guess Japan really said collectivism, you know, together till the end, long game.
Collectivism, yeah. Yeah, and that name is very, that like name change is very, I did not notice that, like Lunacy versus Lunacy. I'm still surprised that I did not realize that until you like mentioned it. That's amazing.
Like, it was just there and you're like, it sounds the same, but it's not the same. What is the difference? I don't get it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. But 3 months after they performed their first concert at Machida Playhouse in Tokyo, the band sold 100 copies of their demo tape, Lunacy, and 7 months later, 1,000 copies of their second demo tape, Shade. The band sold out several tours around Tokyo, Yokohama, Nagoya, Kyoto, and Osaka as an indie band, capturing the attention of X-Japan, then known simply as X. So even when they were, you know, just starting out, they were actually very popular, because most bands do not start off, you know, selling 1,000 copies. You know, like even if they're second demo tape, so that's insane.
I mean, they had a very like clear sound from the beginning, and they were actually, when you know we're talking about how they caught the attention of X Japan, they were actually kind of quote unquote scouted by Hide from X. And if you don't know who Hide is, he is part of course X Japan, and you know, he almost started the entire visual kei movement. So, I mean, it's you can see where the initial influence comes from as well. You know, they were signed, of course, to a label, and Yoshiki, who was another really famous visual kei artist during the time, supervised their first indie album, Luna C, so it was named after the band, and the record received like over 10,000 pre-orders. Like big numbers here, big numbers.
Yeah.
And he there performed with Sugizo and Shinya at the Livehouse Nissan Power Station. And, you know, so lots of big things were happening even in their like formative years, with like Inoran and Jay collaborating with Hide on the tracks for Mass, which is in like one of the tracks that they made, as, along with other tracks like Frozen Bug from Dance to Noise 004. And, you know, lots of members of the band were doing stuff. So even Ryuichi collaborated on the track Scanner from Hide's single Tell Me. So they were really like, you know, inclusive. It was a very deep web where all of them were basically just working with each other.
Yeah, that's crazy. They went from selling, you know, 100 copies to 1,000 to 10,000 pre-orders. Like, they were making some really, you know, great headway at the beginning.
Numbers are just going up.
Yeah. But Lunacy actually continued to sell out tours with as many as 7,000 patrons before making their major debut with Image under MCA Victor, now Universal Music, in 1992. The following year, Lunacy performed for over 26,000 concert-goers on their 14-day tour, Search for My Eden. When their concerts at Budokan and Yokohama Arena were postponed due to a typhoon in 93 and 94, they were jokingly called the band that brings a storm, or Arashi o Yobu Bando. They later performed at Budokan without incident in December 1994 for 40,000 fans.
That is insane.
Wow, they had a lot of fun.
And I mean, performing at Budokan, I mean, like even back then, I mean, the entire idea of performing at Budokan was such a big thing for like so many bands. So it's so cool that like, you know, that's how they started. And you can see like a clear fan base from the beginning, which is very cool. But I mean, if we're just going to talk about like, you know, the fans who, I mean, clearly love this band that brings a storm. That's such a nice like noma to give to like a band. I love that. I'm just gonna actively try to make as many Storm references as possible at this point. But between 1995 and 1996, Lunacy marked the most successful years of their music videos, especially. So their music video collection Eclipse, their singles Desire and End of Sorrow. These are all songs we will be featuring. So I mean, hyping it up for y'all. And of course, their album Style all reached number one on the Oricon charts. And their first concert at Tokyo Dome, Lunatic Tokyo, sold out with 56,000 attendees, which is insane.
Yeah, I don't really think I've been to that many concerts with, you know, over 50,000 people. Like, that has to be really humongous. So, like, I still can't get over, like, the band that brings a storm. Like, that's such a cute and, like, cool nickname they got. Like, it's such, like, a young, like, time in their careers. Like, they seem like a very lucky band, I guess. That's all I can say.
It's very serendipitous. And also, I'm not jealous, but I feel like people should, like, find, like, fun ways to, like, I want to be known as what would, like, the person who brings a storm. That sounds like either a really bad insult or the coolest compliment ever. But I want to be that person. I think we should start a petition for like people to just actively refer to me as the person that brings a storm. I feel like I'm drawing on Lunacy energy here, you know.
A petition, that's funny, yeah. The band has been through several breakups though, but also reformations over the years. So the members went solo in 1997, explaining that they wanted to focus on their own self-development to realize their next vision as a band. Yuichi became a very successful solo artist under the name Yuichi Kawamura, selling 3 million copies of his debut album Love and performing at Japan's popular New Year's music show, NHK Kohaku Uta Gassen.
That is so insane that like by themselves they like made it. And also, I mean, it's very rare that you hear of bands that break up and like reunite. So I think this is a very cool band that way, we'll get more into, like, you know, some of their breakups and reunitings. What is the plural? My mind is not Englishing, but, like, you get the concept, right? I mean, everyone's still waiting for One Direction to come back, and Luna C has been doing it for years, so there's hope for us all, right?
I agree.
And with that being said, Luna C did, like, reform just 1 year later. Clearly couldn't stay away from each other. We love that. And with their reformation came three singles and their new album, Shine, which sold over 1 million records, and it once again reached number one on the Oricon chart. So clearly, they were holding on to that number one spot for a while. The song Breathe from the album was used in the Japanese language version of the Disney animated film Mulan. Oh. I love Mulan. Oh my god. Okay, yes. But that year as well, the band made their debut on NHK's Kohaku Utagasen with the song I For You, which is another song we will be covering. So lots of really exciting songs from this band.
See, I didn't know that for foreign versions of, you know, like, films, they'll change the songs. Like, I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh no, they do that. They like change some of the songs and even like some of the references that like are there in like Western media and stuff change according to the place.
Right.
I remember, I forgot, it was the funniest thing ever, but it made so much sense to me. Somewhere, I forgot which movie it was, but like, to show like a food that like kids didn't like to eat, like in the original it was broccoli, and then in some other, like in other countries, like translation of it, it turned into like Brussels sprouts to make it more like culturally relevant. I think that's such a cool like thing that, like, you know, you go out of your way to do, I mean, to include when you're talking about cultures. Clearly Luna C was up there in creating that revolution for Japan.
Yeah. Well, in 1999, Luna C performed in Taiwan, Hong Kong, and Shanghai on their first tour outside Japan. The band's three-day concert at Tokyo Big Sight was canceled due to a typhoon again, causing tens of billions of yen in damage to the venue and destroying the band's stage equipment, solidifying their title as the band that brings a storm. So I feel like at this point, it's not really funny. It's just kind of, you know,
it's mildly like, concerning.
It's what they're stuck with. Yeah. I really hope there's not a third typhoon.
Just like the next like tour is just like rain, and they're like, we've been through this, it's fine, we're good. No, but at some point you have to wonder if like there's some bad juju here. It's all, you know what it is? It's all like good luck in the beginning, you know, getting scouted by like Japan X and stuff. Like, you need balance in life, right? So like, you can't have it all that easy, clearly.
I mean, I guess so, yeah.
There was so much skepticism in that good. Agreement. Like, yeah, it doesn't make sense, but like, sure. But like, that aside, I mean, clearly the storms didn't deter their success, because Luna C released their seventh album, Lunacy. It's going to get very confusing making these Luna C references, but like, I'm doing my best.
You are.
But, you know, they released their seventh album, Lunacy, in 2000 before announcing, no, their second breakup. But, of course, you know, fans are loyal. They remained active and the band continued to release their best of compilations, such as Period, the Best Selection, that reached number one on the Oricon chart. So they weren't even like putting out music, and their album still made it to, like, a compilation, made it to number one on the Oricon charts. Clearly, a very loyal fan base.
No, it's very, very rare that we, you know, show songs and even albums that make it to number one on the Oricon charts. Like, that's... I'm flabbergasted. That's all I can say. But I've been noticing this, too. Like, best of, like, compilations are, like, pretty popular among bands, but, like, I mean, I feel like some, like, if it's a band, especially that I'm not super used to, like, sometimes I'm like, really? Like, this is the best of your music? But I feel like you can't really, you know, deny, like, a best of compilation if it reaches number one, you know? Yeah.
But I mean, I think it's also cool, you know, they're still together to this day, considering how old they are. But I think something else to, like, keep in mind when we're talking about, like, Luna C here is that the numbers, like, if we're talking about, like, 55,000 tickets, like, today, it's still a big number, but like, imagine in like 2008, 55,000 tickets being sold is even more like insane, right?
Yeah. And a little bit later on in 2007, Lunacy announced on their website that they would have a one-night-only reunion concert at Tokyo Dome. All 55,000 tickets were sold within 5 minutes.
Like 5 minutes? That's insane!
The band reunited again after Hide's death for his memorial concert in 2008. Lunacy eventually reformed for a second time in 2009 when they embarked on their first world tour in Bochum, Germany, Los Angeles, Hong Kong, and Taiwan before returning to Tokyo. They went on to release three additional albums, I Will, Love, and Cross, from 2013 to 2019. So I guess, like, as their career, you know, continued, like, maybe they, like, you know, got more nostalgic, or it's nice that they, I guess, continued for, like, their fans. Like, I'm really curious to see if they, you know, reformed for them, for their own, you know, like, sake, or if they, you know, if fans, you know, if it was for their fans, because they seem to have a very large fan base.
Their popularity is clearly unmatched, and I mean, I guess it's still going, because Lunacy most recently performed at Saitama Super Arena in December 2022, where they asked all audience members to dress in black. I mean, if it happened, I don't know, do we know if, like, it actually happened? It's still, like, very cool. I mean, I like the sentiment of it all, you know. It goes back to the entire We Are a Community of Lunacy lovers, which I think is great. They've really connected with their audience that way. And their August 2022 concert, A New Voice at Nippon Budokan, will be released on Blu-ray on March 14th, 2023. So I guess that's something to look forward to this year.
I'm really focusing on, like, the, like, how they were all sold in within 5 minutes. Because normally you have, like, a few, like, even if it's a really popular artist, you only have, like, a few days, maybe, you know, a few hours before, like, all the tickets sell out. But 5 minutes. 55,000 people in 5 minutes.
Maybe I might be a new Lunacy fan, because I actually really enjoy Visual K Rock. I like the entire aesthetic of it. I love that it's very, like, Japan unique, like, Japanese specific, and, like, its audience and its voice and all of that. So I really enjoy Visual K that way. So Lunacy is definitely going to be up on my list of Visual K bands.
Yeah, it sounds like, I'm really pleased to hear that, like, you know, even after COVID, they still managed, you know, to get back together and play concerts, you know, and start releasing things. Like, their fan base, it seems to, like, be never ending, you know, over the course of, you know, 3-4 decades, like, they got some real fans out there. I think that actually this first song we're gonna play for you guys is True Blue, with a release date of September 21st, 1994.
Number 4.
Thank you.
So True Blue is Lunacy's fourth single. And I mean, I feel like songs that have the word blue in it or have like blue themes in it are always really good. I don't know if you've noticed that too.
That was such a like weirdly accurate correlation to make. I wasn't thinking about it, and now that you've said it, I'm like thinking back, how many songs do I know with the word blue in it, and how right is Connor about that? Weirdly accurate.
Thank you. It was funny because like I said it so rapid fire too. Like it was just like so natural for me to say and like think about, and then it was like a revelation.
You just knew it, like instinctively. You were thinking about it for a while, clearly. So True Blue is Luna C's fourth single released in 1994.
And it was written by Jay and incorporates noise into this track when it fades out. So Sugizo commented in a 1996 interview with J-Rock magazine that the song is just plain noise, but the layers can sound floaty and clear to the listener. And so you get this, you know, sense of like chaos, you know, and like what seems to be a jumble of noises, you know, it's actually like can be separated into like its own distinct parts, which is really unique.
Absolutely. I feel like this is one of the songs that require like a re-listen. Like the first time you hear it, you're just like, I don't completely understand. And then like, you know, you listen again and again. I had to listen to this song like 2-3 times. I mean, being completely open and honest about it, 2-3 times for me to be like, oh wait, I really enjoy this song. Because my first listen, I was like, I don't know how I feel about it. And then, you know, you listen a bit more and then you start to hear the distinctions. So giving it a shot, I think, is really important. But I'm also glad that, you know, it goes back into them exploring their sound and, you know, understanding what works for them. Because it clearly does in the weirdest way possible. Because within that chaos, you can hear that distinct Visual K rock element. And I really enjoy that, right?
Yeah.
And of course, like, other people clearly enjoy the song as well. Because this record marked the first time the band reached number one in the Oricon singles chart. So in a 1994 interview with the Visual K magazine Shox, Sugizo remarked that it was incredibly validating for the members and their fans for a song that was not written for a TV drama to reach number one. So, I mean, it goes back to our conversation about how singles especially were released mostly for other industries, right?
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like that's a good question to ask too, is whether it's more difficult for an album to reach number one or a single. Because I feel like, I feel like it's an album, because with an album you have like a number of different songs on there, and if, you know, it's about like the end result, you know, and like in general, like how the album sounds, which I feel like is a lot more complex than just releasing a single song. But at the same time, I feel like singles, like, there's a lot more high quality singles out there because it's just one song you're worried about. And so I feel like you have a lot more competition that way as well. And so maybe I haven't quite answered my own question, but that's something to think about.
No, it is food for thought, I mean.
Yeah, like in either way, Lunacy, like they have reached number one for both. So I guess it doesn't really matter.
So it's like, is it really a conversation for Lunacy is the question. I mean, I guess that kind of takes us to our next song, because we are on a Lunacy roll here. And this was one of their like later releases. So it's the song Tonight, which was released on May 17th, 2000.
Number 3. You're playing me, you go on, or sitting low, you know me.
And that was the song Tonight. And this was Luna C's 13th single, and it was released in 2000. So it was featured as the theme song for the Japanese broadcast of the 2000 UEFA European Football Championship.
Oh, okay, interesting. Okay, it's for the Japanese broadcast. I see, I see. And the track was composed by Jay and is one of the band's shortest tracks at 3 minutes in duration. And that's the thing too. Like, I realized, like, their songs are pretty long, I feel.
Oh yeah, absolutely. They definitely have a longer set of songs.
Yeah, but that point aside, like, this song is actually beloved by fans for its bouncy rhythm. So if you guys noticed that, that's actually one of its defining characteristics.
I mean, I personally loved it. I feel like by 2000, you see Luna C branching out into slightly less rock, like hard rock sounds, becoming slightly softer, more, you know, catchy, you know, picking up on slightly more mainstream pop sounds, like incorporating those elements into their music, but not straying completely from their sound, right? Mm-hmm. And in an interview with Doremi Music Publishing, Ryuichi commented that he intentionally wore out his voice by singing the track 3 to 5 times in a row to get the desired sound in recording. And that is what is called dedication. Oh my God.
That's genius. I mean, I hope he's, you know, I wonder if that's like bad for your voice. That's a cool effect. That's dedication, like you said.
I mean, it's very interesting to see how far people go for the sound that they want. I guess, I mean, clearly it's done justice for them, right?
Yeah, and what's more too is the music video is pretty special too in that it features the actor called Alexander, who's also known as Enrique Sakamoto.
So, I mean, clearly it's a beloved music video with in line with, you know, what it was created for, as it was featured for the theme song for the football championship. I think that's one of the first times you really see, at least we've heard personally, me. I'm no Luna C expert. I'm trying to become one. I will be one by the next episode when we stop talking about Luna C. But for now, I am uninformed. And this is one of the first times I heard their sounds kind of changing in genre, like any like shift that way.
Yeah, and before we move on to our next song, we've got another announcement. It's for all people who are interested in advertising on our podcast. So if you want to advertise on our podcast, you can market your brand onto one of the world's most popular Japanese cultural-based podcasts, and you can reach up to potentially 70,000 listeners around the world on a weekly basis with advertising costs that will fit your company's budget. We can find the full details at jtop10.jp. And moving on to our next song, we have Gravity, which was released on March 29th, 2000.
Number 2. Thank you.
So Gravity is Luna C's 12th single, and it was released in 2000 in Japan and Taiwan following the band's 1999 first Asian tour that we mentioned earlier.
And the track was composed by Ino Rad, who says it feels like a song for autumn rather than spring, which was when the song was released. So, I mean, interesting to know, like, the things that they keep note of when, you know, talk about releases and the music and what they're trying to create through the song.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Like songs definitely do have, like, spring or fall feelings, you know, so I definitely understand that. And the track was featured as a theme song for the film Another Heaven and the accompanying TV Asahi drama Another Heaven Eclipse. So this one, I'm sure it gained a lot of popularity just from being, you know, included in, you know, in the film industry.
Oh, absolutely. But I'm kind of still hung up about the autumn thing, because the more that I think about it, there are, like, and it never crossed my mind to think that, like, there were seasons associated with songs that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, very explicitly, like, oh, hey, you know, if I'm listening to this song in spring, it's a spring song, or the vibe of this song is, like, unless it's, like, explicitly stated that, oh, this is a song, like, you know, you listen to in winter, like, I know, Christmas carols, for example, right? It's, I mean, it's not something you think about, but, like, clearly it's, I guess you go back to the entire thing about the aesthetics of Visual Kei, and I guess a Visual Kei band would keep in mind the small details that way as well, because it matters to their broad perception and, you know, the image they're trying to create.
Yeah, exactly.
That's very cool.
Yeah, no, it is very cool, yeah. And so I have another announcement actually for our listeners. If you want to hear up to 3 times the amount of songs on this episode, you can join our Patreon club at jtop10.jp/club, starting at just $1 a month, and you can support our podcast along with getting more music and insights to Japanese music culture.
So much fun. You can hear, like, us talking more about Luna C. And for good reason, obviously, because we are unfortunately down to our last song. And this is, again, one of my personal favorites, and that's the song Rosier, which was released on July 21st, 1994.
Number one.
And that was Rosier. So Rosier is Luna C's third single, which was released in 1994.
The track is often cited as a fan favorite for its memorable guitar and fast-paced vocals by Ryuichi.
I really like the song because it's one of the first times you don't hear like Sugizo being like the main vocal.
Yeah, no, I see what you mean. Yeah, it's a nice change of pace.
I feel like it also gives the band, like different members of the bands, that like time to shine. And for good reason, right? Because Rosier was composed by Jay, who also wrote the track's English language interlude. So something really interesting is that, I mean, this is like just a side tidbit, but like most of the band's like the names of their songs, their albums and everything are in English. But as opposed to most Japanese music, where you do hear English incorporated in some places, you don't really hear too much English in their songs itself. So, I mean, yeah, this is one of the few songs that you hear like English in the song itself. And in a 1998 interview with Sony Magazines, Jay recalled how he felt like he was in a slump during the recording of the band's previous album, Eden, and he wrote the lyrics imagining he was writing a suicide note to himself. So, I mean, dark ideas, but created something insane, because during the band's live performance, Jay will often throw the mic stand over his head and behind his back after finishing his vocal part. So, I mean, lots of things we can theorize and summarize from there. It could be like, you know, him getting rid of that energy, or, you know, saying that it's part of his past or whatever. But it's interesting to see where artists gain any form of creativity from.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely would use the word creativity, but it's kind of scary too, like to like how far this group will go to make the sound that they want and get the product that they want. But I do, you know, like condone them with that, like it's job well done. It definitely, I think it's one of the biggest reasons why they've gotten so far. And yeah, the song definitely, I, you know, you definitely see that same kind of trend. And so another cool fact about this actually music video is that it won Best Music Video at the 36th Japan Record Awards in 1994, which is another very difficult, you know, feat to accomplish, because there are some really cool music videos that are out there, even in the 1990s, like they had a lot of competition. Did you like notice anything about this music video that like stood out to you?
Nothing in particular. I mean, it fell in line with a lot of like Luna C's like general music videos, but considering that this song in particular wasn't entirely like focused on the band themselves, I feel like it gave a lot of space that way. You felt, one thing I really like about Luna C is if you look at it chronologically, you see their sounds mature. And I feel like 1994 in particular, because it's like right after their like 1 year break and everything, you can hear the direct difference and you can see it, right? Like it's very clear where, you know, they start being like, hey, this is what we want to focus on. This is who we want to be. And, you know, the older the songs get, the more calmer the sound goes, but they still kind of hold on to the original rock vibe. So it's a very solid song to kind of end on.
No, I agree. I think that it was a really good song to end on. And let's not be sad about it too, because we've got, you know, plenty of stuff coming in the future. And in 2 weeks, we actually have Miyabi and Andy joining us, and they're going to bring the biggest top 10 hits from Japan for March's top 10 countdown. And I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, absolutely.
I know, I'm not going to be in it, but I cannot wait to listen to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Look forward to the future and all that. But I guess that's the end of our, you know, Luna C journey, the band that brings a storm, clearly. Milestone in the Japanese rock industry. You know, they've created so much and they've done so much for Japanese music, especially Visual K.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's very cool to, like, you know, talk about it and kind of reminisce about the transformation the music has gone through and, you know, the things that were popular, like Visual K, how it still has its fan base today. So, I love all of it together.
I feel like I learned a lot, you know, about this group, because it was my first time hearing them, actually. And I think that I definitely have a new appreciation for the visual kei movement. And yeah, I'm excited to go and explore this group further and other bands that are related to them. And also I want to look into these, you know, these artists' individual careers too, because it sounds like they were very successful.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So I guess that's like our homework after this episode, but I guess that's it for us then.
I'm your host, Connor.
And I'm Shana. So we will see you next time.
Yep, thank you. Bye.
Bye. Japan Top 10.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.